It's a common misconception that drinking 8 glasses of water a day is enough for healthy hydration. But sweat consists of water and sodium, which means you need water plus electrolytes to stay properly hydrated. Thankfully, there are products like Element that have all your electrolyte needs covered. You can try Element Recharge Sample Pack by going to drinkelement.com/speak for only the cost of shipping.
Acho. Ooh, those are ugly. Welcome to Speak for Yourself, Marcellus Wiley here. Emmanuel Acho.
Sir, you see these Giannis's.
Those are Giannis's.
Zoom Freak 2's custom Nigerian version, because today, he's Giannis.
Ugo.
Adetokunbo. See, I told you, sir, when my dog Giannis wins, I claim the full Nigerian-ness of him, and he knocked out them Nets. It's going to be a great show, America. It's going to be a great show.
All right. Make up. Get him some lotion for them ankles, and let's get this thing started with a wild one.
You seen that?
I did see that.
With a wild one in Brooklyn.
Boy, them shoes kind of sweet. The Bucks. Yeah, they beat the Nets in the overtime thriller Saturday behind 40 points from Giannis. Whatever. Ugly-ass shoes. Kevin Durant had 48 points, including a game-tying jumper at the end of regulation with his big-ass shoes stepping on the line. That was inches away from being a game winner. Come on, KD. Had a chance to tie it up again in OT, but he shot an air ball. And the Bucks are on their way to the Eastern Conference Finals. Acho, did the Bucks prove they were the better team against the Nets?
Oh, we doing that? Fear the deer, baby. Yes, the Bucks did prove they were the better team. Now, let me start with this. Let me start by just undressing some of the idiocracy I have been hearing. The Bucks did not get lucky. If anything, the Nets got lucky and still lost. Because, Sal, so many people think, well, the Bucks got lucky. Kyrie got hurt. Harden got hurt. Luck is when something statistically unlikely occurs. Okay. You win the lottery. It's incredibly statistically unlikely. You got lucky. You get bit by a radioactive spider and turn into Spider-Man. You got lucky. Something statistically incredibly unlikely occurs.
Oh, God.
Kyrie Irving missed time. It's not luck. Kyrie Irving missed 25% of the games this year, 48% of games since he joined Brooklyn. Mm. That is statistically likely. James Harden missed 39% of the games as a Net this year due to a hamstring injury. So, of course, he would get hurt with a hamstring injury. That is not luck. Mm. That is likely. What is lucky for the Nets, Kevin Durant, who only played more than 6 consecutive games one time all season, played 7 consecutive games in this series, played the most minutes of any person over 30 in a playoff series in the last 10 years, and he didn't get hurt.
Okay.
So the Nets got lucky, because that is actually the most statistically unlikely thing to occur, and they still lost. So let me be abundantly clear that the Bucks did not get lucky, but even if you create your own luck. Now, with that being said, the Bucks proved they were the better team, because what we do and what we have so often done, and I'm going to make sure y'all no longer do this for the sake of you, for the sake of me, for the sake of this show, we take lazy interpretations of things.
We, that includes you.
At times.
Okay.
At times.
Like now.
We take lazy interpretations of things. We confuse the best player for the best scorer. We confuse the best team for the best athletes on the team. It's not the case. The Bucks are the better team. Because when you talk about better team, you have to factor in who's the coach. Give me Bud over a guy who would never coach. They had coaching game
before.
You saying
that about Steve Nash?
Yes. Why do I say that about Steve Nash?
Yeah, why?
So,
I don't know.
Kevin Durant went 0 for 6 in overtime. Kevin Durant had only missed 6 consecutive shots during the regular season 3 times in 35 games. 3 times in 35 games did Kevin Durant ever miss 6 consecutive shots. In this series alone of 7 games, he missed 6 consecutive shots 2 times in 7 games. Why does that matter? Because fatigue mattered. Kevin Durant played 53 minutes every single minute in that game 7. Giannis only played 50 minutes. What you mean? It's only a difference of 3 minutes. Well, the game was only a difference of 4 points. And guess who scored the first 2 points for the Bucks in that overtime? Giannis. So I do think that coaching matters in a 7-game series. It comes down to a 4-point differential. When you think about the team, health matters. Of course, Anthony Davis got hurt. Anthony Davis always gets hurt. So where Lakers fans aren't surprised that AD got hurt, they're just like, yeah, this is a part of factoring in the equation when you talk about a team. Let's talk track and field. I was at the Olympic trials this past weekend.
Oh, were you?
I was. You know, your boy was there. Your boy was there.
Too.
When Usain Bolt lost in 2017.
Hold on. He was there, too?
No, he wasn't.
Oh, okay.
When Usain Bolt, the fastest man to ever live, lost in 2017, he didn't say to those that beat him, man, if I would have got a better start. Why? Because Usain Bolt never gets a good start.
No, yeah.
You factor that into the equation when you decide who's going to win a race.
Mm-hmm.
The Nets, they never stay healthy. Mm. You factor that into the equation when you decide who is the better team. You know I'm hot on this take, but I'm going to save some for my second lap.
Yeah.
Because you big dog going to give me some fire too.
I am going to give you some fire, but it's going to be a slow brew. It's going to take its time to simmer.
Crockpot.
I know you don't have any kids, so you don't make oatmeal every morning like my ass.
I eat it, though.
You eat it, though? Yeah. You don't make it?
Uh-huh. Rich.
Here's the thing. Don't turn it up too fast because you're going to burn it. And let me talk about this timing right now because you keep telling me about luck.
Yes, sir.
And luck is something that you do make for yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the timing you can't create.
Okay.
So luck is a part of every successful equation. To what degree? We don't know, but it's always present. But when it shows up, oh, that's when you're really lucky. This team got hella lucky because when Kyrie Irving missed the last three games, the Nets went 1-2. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about lucky timing, not just luck in general. Here's the thing. The whole world is with me on this. As you can hear from my voice right now, I had a hell of a weekend because them Clippers whooped that ass on Friday. And Sunday, we ain't need that. You know how we roll. But we didn't even see team versus team, big dog. We saw team versus T. And I'm going to be real. James Harden not there. Kyrie Irving not there. And I'm saying 30% of James Harden is not there. One leg. Kyrie Irving not present at all. And KD took this team down to not only a final shot with a toe on the line, but in overtime, you only still win by 4. Think about that. You're trying to tell me that Kevin Durant by himself and his big-ass feet almost beat a 2-time back-to-back MVP and 2 All-Stars on the team that was already battle-tested and ready for this moment. If you really want to go out there and say who won the game, it's the Brooklyn Nets because they only had one player. Look at your face. They only had one player out there fighting. Acho, are you faster than me? Let's go to trap.
Yes, right now. Are I
you,
would hope.
That's your point. You got to hope. That's what Brooklyn won off. Well, we hope we better than if we saw him full speed. And you can't beat me. I'm a track champ. Could you beat me with one leg? Could you beat me with one arm tied behind my back and one leg? Yeah. That's how you won. That's how the Bucks won. They didn't go against the full arsenal. And that's track. That's sports. That's life. I'm not tripping on the timing of it, but don't you dare say if these teams were fully loaded that the Bucks would advance.
Sell if and buts, if they were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas, big dog. You said almost. I hate that word. One of the biggest contradictions in the American language.
Yeah.
You said almost. I hate that word. It's one of the biggest oxymoronic words in the English language. All and most. It's a contradiction, big dog.
It is.
The Nets.
But they ain't spelled that way.
Almost.
It ain't got 2 L's, so don't act like it's the same word.
Almost. Here's the other thing, Sal. What? James Harden, although he was on one leg, he statistically performed like he always does in closeout games on 2 legs.
Don't do
what
that.
What was he, 2-for-11 from 3? Remember Game 7? 2017, I believe, against the Warriors when Harden was 2-for-13 from 3. Remember Game 6, semifinals against the Spurs
with these guys
when Harden was 2-for-9 from 3? James Harden is who he's always been. Mm. One leg or 2 legs. He gave you 22-9-9. Can't be mad at James Harden now.
Oh, we can't?
We're going to talk about Kevin Durant later in the show, a man in which I praise, a man in which I will continue to praise.
And apologize.
But we're going to talk about the truth behind Harden. But here's what we have to clarify, and it's the only thing I care that you hear. Only thing I care that y'all hear. The Nets stars were going to miss time because they always miss time. I had to go back and listen to Wayne Swag Surfing this weekend because you know Wayne be giving us bars all the time.
All day.
And he said, you think we gonna do our thing? Well, ain't it sunny in the summer? That's what Wayne said. I'm like, you think the Nets star is going to get hurt? Well, ain't it sunny in the summer? It's the same thing. Of course they're going to get hurt because they always get hurt. Of course they're going to miss time because they always miss time. Kyrie unfortunately stepped on an ankle and twisted his ankle. But had he not twisted an ankle, who knows what it would have been? I didn't think that someone calling Kyrie the N-word would cause him to miss time early in the season.
Wow, we going
so
there.
Had he not twisted his ankle up, we have to assume he would have missed time because he always misses time.
Mm.
We have to assume Harden would have re-injured his hamstring because he missed 40% of the games this year with the hamstring. The Nets caught a break because Kevin Durant, who missed 50% of the games this year, Kevin Durant, who only played more than six consecutive games once, and that was the very end of the season. Kevin Durant played the most minutes the dude has played since he's hit the age of 30. Kevin Durant played the most minutes anybody over 30 has played since 2010. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the Nets actually caught a break, and they still got broke.
Come on, big dog. The Bucks, I hate your law of averages because you want to use it.
You hate laws now.
So you hate gravity too?
No, I hate average. Okay. Gravity ain't got no law of averages. It's absolute. I like absolutes. You like to go there. Let's talk about an absolute. Absolutely shocking is Joe Harris for this.
That's fair. I'll give you that one. That was bad.
This dude went from...
That was bad.
In the Celtics series, 51 and a half from three. What'd he do in this series? 32.
Yep.
Okay. Let's not talk about that. Harden and him combined, 5 of 21 from three. Okay. You keep saying Harden is bad. Joe Harris and Harden bad? That sounds a little lucky to me. 0 points off the bench. No one off the bench even attempted a shot. Come on, big dog. That's a game seven. You want to keep talking about average? You want to keep talking about what people do? You trying to tell me, seriously, stop doing TV.
What?
We about to go to commercial break so I can get my voice back. Kyrie Irving's not worth a toe of Kevin Durant on the line as a three-point winning game clinching shot, series clinching shot. You trying to say that Kyrie Irving, if he was just present, just on the court, in word or not, you don't think that Kyrie Irving would have been a difference maker between them almost ending this already with Kevin Durant? But with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, that wouldn't have been a difference maker? That's the problem. It's not team versus team. Team versus T. It sounds like you want to spill a lot of it. Coming up, Cole Beasley is pushing back hard. Ooh, this dude. You ready for this?
Ooh.
The league's health and safety protocols. We have a lot to say about this. And it's coming up next on Speak for Yourself. You better duck, duck. You better duck. Getting recommendations from your friends for that perfect diet might be a big waste of time. The real answer is already within you, your genes. What are the best foods based on your DNA? What foods have the nutrients that you need? How quickly do you metabolize caffeine and alcohol? Don't guess. Use the code Speak for Yourself for $20 off a Geno Palette DNA kit. Find out how to eat for your genes. Bills wide receiver Cole Beasley recently spoke out strongly against health and safety protocols adopted by the NFL and the Players Association. In part of Beasley's stance, he tweeted he will not get vaccinated and will not follow the rules for unvaccinated players to stay clear of people. Beasley added, quote, I'll play for free this year to live life how I've lived it from day one. If I'm forced into retirement, so be it. So I choke. Damn. What's your reaction to Cole Beasley's stance on health and safety protocols?
My reaction is that Cole Beasley is trying to act like a martyr in regards to something that no one is trying to kill him for. Cole Beasley, I have no issue with him. I have no major issue with Cole Beasley not wanting to be vaccinated.
No major.
My issue is with Cole Beasley's logic in regards to not wanting to be vaccinated. If Cole Beasley was like, look, I have spent tons of hours, minutes, months, days even, researching the vaccination and I don't want it, I'd be like, you know what? Do your thing, big dog. America, freedom of speech, freedom of choice. Doesn't mean freedom of consequence, but still have several freedoms. The issue, though, is with Cole Beasley's logic. Cole Beasley's logic is, I don't want to get vaccinated because he said, quote, I'm not going to take meds for a leg that isn't broken.
Okay.
But based upon that logic, why would you stretch for a hamstring that's not torn? Why would you buckle up for a car that's not crashed? Why would you strengthen a muscle that's not weak? The problem is Cole Beasley's logic contradicts his life. Athletes, we live lives based upon prehab. An ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. Athletes, we live lives based upon prehab, not rehab. Because rehab, you wait till you get hurt to fix it. Prehab, you preventatively do something in advance so that you do not get hurt. I think Cole Beasley assumes that so many people are attacking his decision. I am not one of those people. I am trying to make sense of his logic because his logic does not make sense. His logic currently contradicts his life. If Cole Beasley was the type that, like, I'm not going to stretch, I'm not going to hydrate, I'm not going to do anything until my body requires me to do it, I'd be like, oh, bet that. But all athletes, we all take preventative measures. We all overly hydrate because we know we're bound to be dehydrated. We all stretch before a game because we know we are bound to have a tight muscle. In football, let me do you one better. You take a conditioning test before the season starts. And your team dictates your conditioning test because they want to proactively know that you are in shape so that nothing happens during the course of training camp because they did not monitor ahead of time if you were in shape. We all live in sports, at least proactively. His logic is reactive. That's where I take my issue. That's the only major place I take my issue.
Okay. I'm certain you're curious about where I'm going with this one. Why? Because you just told me during the break you were curious where I was going with this one. Let me start off by saying two things. One, I'm proud of this man's conviction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that. Two, I'm vaccinated. And I have not a damn problem in the world with someone who chooses with their freedoms and liberties not to get vaccinated. Now, I do have a problem when you don't like the consequences that come from that different world mm-hmm. that you're going to live in being unvaccinated. Cole Beasley, oh, my God. You said it, martyr. It sounds like he wants to be another martyr who's dying on the molehill. And I say molehill because this is not worth dying for, Cole Beasley. And I'm gonna prove it by your own words and your own actions. One, he gives us an explicit example of you don't take meds for a leg that's not broken.
Yep.
Correct? You don't take meds for a leg that's not broken. Last time I checked, broken legs aren't contagious. Last time I checked, whatever happened to you and your broken leg is your wobbling problem, not mine. But in this world where we're interdependent, that broken leg all of a sudden can be contagious to me. So since broken legs aren't contagious, don't give me that as an example if you're Cole Beasley. He's doing what they all do. And I don't know what's going on in this world, and everyone is breathing this same air, but they're disruptive without a destination. Let me prove it. His virtual signaling went wrong. He went from talking about how he wants to live with his same values that he has from day one. First of all, Ain't nobody knows their value system from day one, so stop lying to me already in your absolutes. But let's go beyond that when you did have conscious thought of your value system, and more importantly, the right and responsibility to choose which values you want to live by. Cole Beasley, you don't want to do the things that come from it. That's fine. But don't you know you play the ultimate team sport? Don't you know that other people's livelihoods are affected and impacted by what you do? So imagine this. Cole Beasley says, I don't want to abide by the protocols because I disagree with them. That's fine. But the disobeying, not disagreement, disobeying is what gets you into harm's way with a collective group. Because you disagreeing, go ahead. You disobey him, we got a problem. Because now you're being disruptive.
Ooh,
and Cole
stop. Stop. I hate when you do this.
I do it.
I hate when you do this. I hate when you give a bar
okay.
and you skate past it like you did not just give a bar. Because first off, can you break down? Because I'm trying to digest it on the spot on set. Y'all don't realize this. We don't talk before the show about what we're going to say.
Nah, we don't do
What's
that.
What's the difference between disagreeing and disobeying?
Okay, disagreeing means I don't respect why you even have these protocols in place. Now, let me give you a little more meat on that. I'm going to be real. Some of the protocols are just stupid worldwide, socially. I go to a restaurant. The waiter is sitting there. May I take your order with the mask on? I say, yeah. And I start talking. He takes the mask down to start talking back. The hell is this? This makes no sense. Okay? Well, you have to have your mask on at the Clipper game unless you're eating. Well, I'm always chewing gum. Guess what? It looks like I'm eating. Why are we going with some of these thinly veiled protocols? Disagree with them. I get it. But then you can't take that to disobeying them. When I was at the games, hey, man, I got to respect what these ushers are doing. They're getting paid to enforce something. Cole Beasley, I get what you're saying. There's a distinct line between what vaccinated players can do and unvaccinated players can do. You made your choice. Now you got to deal with the consequences. So that's what the problem. Disagree, one thing. Disobey, two things. But here's the biggest problem. It's going to be disruptive. Mm-hmm. So now our team may suffer. Our league may suffer. 1,900-plus players may suffer because of your disobedience. You are not allowed to do that when you tell me that you got a winning scenario of retiring anyway. You want to be with your family. You want to be with your friends and live these values that you've had since day one, which you're lying about. So if that's a winning scenario, take your winning ass over there and do that. But don't you dare come to me and my family and now try to affect the money we're trying to make by participating, by displaying our talents and labor, because you just not only want to disagree, but disobey.
Mm.
That's my problem.
It's a sports show. So let's put that in sports terms. There's always a time as an athlete when you are part of an aggregate, a larger team, yeah. that you got to do something you don't agree with.
Facts.
Coach says over the mic in the middle linebacker's ear, hey, we're going to run Will, me, six. Okay, Will, if you're the Will linebacker, the weak side linebacker, you hear me. That means you're blitzing. And we're playing cover six behind it. Will, me, six. But, Coach, I don't feel like running into the A-gap between that 315 offensive guard and that 310-pound center. Well, guess what, Acho? For the greater good of the team,
you
can disagree with the call.
Yeah.
But you can't disobey the call. Because if you disobey the call, number one, there's a consequence that you will get pulled. Right. Individual consequence.
Yeah.
Consequence collectively, you as a team defense will get beat. And consequence that, yes, you might want to disobey the call, but what's going to happen to those around you who are actually depending on you to obey the call, although you disagree with the call?
Facts.
So I had to put in sports terms what Sel just broke down, because, yes, Cole Beasley, you can disagree with the call. We all disagree with a lot of things in this life. But when you disobey the call, then there's a consequence, because there's always a consequence for disobedience. But then there's one other issue I have with Cole Beasley.
Let's go.
And I'll be done. My other issue with Cole Beasley is this. In one of his tweets, he spoke on that, well, X amount of people get COVID, and that's a small percentage, or X amount, a small percentage of people die from COVID, he said. He said, I shouldn't be in the NFL after 10 years, so I've already beat the odds. Essentially, he is assuming because he beat the odds by making it to the NFL, well, then he can go and beat the odds again, whatever the odds of COVID are.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot bank on you achieving a statistical improbability in one field as a causation to allow you to achieve a completely unrelated statistical improbability in another field.
Mm.
I, too, made it to the NFL as son of Nigerian immigrants. I'm sure there are some odds there that are incredibly unlikely. I would not walk outside during a thunderstorm and hold up a metal pole and say to myself, well, I beat the odds of making it to the NFL, I'm going to beat these odds as well.
Mm.
That's incredibly illogical. I love that Sel led with, I'm proud of Cole Beasley for standing on his convictions.
I am.
Because in all honesty, I am too. Like, I love when a group of people are going right, you don't always have to go right. When a group of people are going left, you don't always have to go left. Stand on your convictions. Just make sure your convictions stand on common sense.
Mm. And it won't stand on common sense. Because in this world today, it is just too faddish, too flavor of the month to pick a side and then just root for that side. Here's the problem, and this is one of the things that I don't do, and I hear it's one of my superpowers. I follow the truth, I follow common sense, and I will weave from both sides. I can praise Cole Beasley in the same breath that I'm going to condemn him, because the truth will take me to parts of his argument that are correct. And then it would take me distant from parts of his argument that are incorrect. The reason why this conversation is so polarizing, because everyone acts like on both sides that they worked at the CDC in an internship program for the last 10 years. So everybody is talking from an experience that is not genius. So now you're talking to somebody who said, well, I got vaccinated. I'm good. What does good mean? Because, you know, perfect is the enemy of good. And in this situation, good doesn't mean absolutely that you are okay. When you get vaccinated, big dog, you know what happens? You put on a bulletproof vest. That means you can still get hit here, still get hit in them legs. But mostly, you're protected. Why? Because it activates your immune system and the immunization, blah, blah, blah. But stop walking around people who are vaccinated like you can't contract it again. It mitigates the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
It will mitigate your ability to contract. But there are no absolutes. That's why Cole Beasley got a problem. He's like, well, there are no absolutes. Why can't I live and do what I want to do? Here's the problem. Because since you disagree with it, you can't disobey what the protocols are to try to get us as close as we can to an absolute. So Cole Beasley missed me with this. Another person I know who is saying shh with no solution. I don't like people like that. Here's another thing I know he lying about. Well, there's a lot of guys that feel the same way as me, but they don't have the same status in the league. You mean to tell me out of 1,900 players, you can't find one other veteran? And first of all, Cole Beasley, you up here, but you ain't up there. It's another dude who up there who probably agrees with you. Find him. Put him out there like that. Since you want to act like you the only one, that's a problem. Here's the last thing I want to say about this. Either pay the price or get your ass out of line. I'm tired of people want to get there, and then they say, hey, my choices don't come with consequences. Cole Beasley, you want to retire? Peace. You don't want to? Play the game the way it's supposed to be played. Coming up, Kevin Durant scored 48 points in Game 7, but his Nets still out the playoffs. We'll tell you if KD gets a pass, and that's next on Speak for Yourself.
Still got smoke on the show.
He lucky my voice hurting. He lucky. Today on FS1, the Copa America continues with a jam-packed doubleheader. Uruguay takes on Chile at 4:30 Eastern, then Argentina. Hello, battles Paraguay at 8. All on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. Damn, I need my passport. I gotta get out. Kevin Durant was inches away from hitting the game-winning three-pointer at the end of regulation Saturday. Tied it up instead, but he could not repeat his heroics in overtime. Airballing the game-tying attempt. KD finished with 48 points in 53 minutes. Damn. While playing without Kyrie Irving and with James Harden, who returned from an injury. Joined now by Fox NBA analyst Slick Rick Dubuque. But Acho, are you giving Kevin Durant a pass for the series loss to the Bucks?
Absolutely not, but Kevin Durant should have passed the last shot against the Bucks. No, I'm not giving KD a pass. KD is proving, or at least he proved, that he is currently the greatest player in basketball. Unfortunately, he's eliminated from currently playing the game of basketball. But he proved that he is currently the greatest player in basketball. I said that twice for those that think I'm about to slander KD. Why am I not giving him a pass, Slick, Sal? Because for 8 consecutive years, LeBron James ran through the East with players healthy and with players hurt. Go back to 2012, if we shall, when Chris Bosh missed 9 consecutive games, when LeBron and his Heat were down to the Celtics 3-2, and LeBron had that miraculous game six in the Garden, rather, and he went off 45-15-5 without Chris Bosh, his third best player. You know, KD was without Kyrie, his third best player. And then LeBron James went on to win that series, went on to the NBA Finals, where he would obviously go on and win. 2015, Kevin Love messes up his shoulder against Boston, opening round 1. LeBron still goes to the NBA Finals against the Golden State Warriors, where he loses Kyrie in game 1. Still steals 2 games and ends up losing ultimately in 6 games in the NBA Finals. 2018, LeBron James trots out a starting lineup of George Hill, J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson. Kevin Love runs through the East again, where he gets to the NBA Finals, albeit losing 4-0, but still gets to the NBA Finals. And Kevin Durant, against the Bucks team, who we all said is not built to last in the playoffs because their best player, Giannis, isn't a closer. We all clowned as their great regular season team led by a great regular season player, but they do not have the talent to get there. You, Kevin Durant, the greatest player currently playing basketball, which I will loudly and proudly admit until the start of next season, you couldn't do what LeBron James did for 8 consecutive years. We didn't give a pass when LeBron James got swept in 2018. We didn't give LeBron a pass when he faltered this year. We didn't give LeBron a pass when he got hurt in 2019. So no, Kevin Durant, you have garnered yourself the respect to not get passes, and you ain't getting no pass, big dog.
Is this the same Emmanuel Acho, Emmy Acho, who said that the Bucks were going to win in 6?
Yeah.
I'm talking to the same Emmanuel Acho who said the Bucks were going to win in 6. And now you're suggesting that the Nets and Kevin Durant didn't achieve what was expected, but yet you didn't expect them to win the series. So I don't understand. By the way, let me give you your flowers because your Bucks did advance, as you suggested. And Marcellus, your Clippers did advance, as you had hoped. Now, you guys were only 1-for-2, and I have both the Bucks and the Clippers in the finals, but that's why I'm here. That's why I'm on the show. So,
my dog.
I am not going to give KD a pass because he does not need one. The man played all 53 minutes of Game 7. He only played half the season. He played nearly every minute of this series and did it with a top-heavy built team that did not have 2 of the top pieces as part of it because of injury. So, ultimately, he gave you everything he could. If I'm going to blame anyone for them coming up short is the fact that they couldn't find minutes to steal, to take KD off and give him a breather in Game 7. There's a reason he went scoreless in the final 5 minutes of overtime, because he was absolutely gassed. If you look at the 4 teams that have advanced, they have 2 things in common: depth and versatility. They can play big and they can play small. The Brooklyn Nets were built to be a small ball, offensive scoring team, and then lost two of the greatest offensive pieces that they have. I cannot fault KD for that. And your comparisons to LeBron, those teams were built for LeBron to do what he does. They weren't necessarily big threes. They weren't necessarily offensive juggernaut players around him. But they were guys that could do all the dirty work. And there were enough of those guys still available for him to advance as he did. So KD did everything he possibly could. To think that he came up short, the Brooklyn Nets came up short. Kevin Durant did not.
That's exactly my point. The Nets need a pass, but KD doesn't need a pass. Have you ever seen him dribble? Good Lord, dude play point forward, point center, doesn't need a pass. He could bring the ball up by his damn self and almost carry this team to the next round. Let's talk about LeBron James, since you want to bring his butt up. How did LeBron James look in L.A. year one? Anybody?
How did KD look like?
How did that turn out? Did he go? Did he even make the playoffs, let alone did he go as far as KD and the Brooklyn Nets did? No, he did not. Let's talk about the Celtics' big three in year one. How did that turn out? Pretty good, right? First season together, 2007-2008, best in NBA record. And they defeated the Lakers in the NBA Finals. But then you look around and you say, what about the LeBron James' big three in Miami? How did that year one turn out?
NBA Finals.
Oh, did they win it all?
NBA Finals.
NBA Finals, that's great. But you know what? You still got the frown. You still got the smile upside down, just like KD does right now in that situation. If you look at the Nets' big three, they didn't have a big three when they needed a big three. So they get a pass. And then Kevin Durant sitting there said, I tried. I almost did it. So don't talk to me. You could talk to Ofer Joe. You could talk to Ofer Joe Harris all day. You could talk to a couple other players that I'm sure may be seeing themselves in different locales next year. But Kevin Durant is sitting there like, I did all that I could. And be real. Well, 1 second ago, before replay, before everyone knew what the result was, weren't we sitting there like, did Kevin Durant just beat a team by himself? And he almost did.
Wait a second, Sal.
And all I'm saying
Wait
is,
a second, Sal.
I'm going to respect the man who was not in a big three moment, even though it was designed for a big three, who did this. I'm not giving that guy a pass because he don't need it.
No, it wasn't well said. Slick. I don't need you co-signing something that's about to get rejected at this bank. I don't want to see Katie. I want to see my dogs. Let me look at my people. Here's a problem, America, and Marcellus did it in his very last sentence, so I have to bring that glaring issue to our attention.
What, lost my voice? What?
You said KD nearly beat a team by himself.
Yeah, he did.
So had the Nets won, KD would have beat the team by himself. But since they've lost, now all of a sudden we want to bring up Ofer Joe. Now all of a sudden we want to talk about Kyrie and Harden not being present. But had he won, we was going to give him all the credit by himself. At the end of game five, what we came up here and did, Marcellus did it first, but I did co-sign, because you know me, sometimes I can be a follower. Shame on you, Watcho. What Marcellus came up here and did, we applauded Kevin Durant for one thing, for properly calculating just how much energy he would need at the end of the game to get it done. Mm-hmm. Remember game five, KD gave you 49, 17, and 10, 49, 17, and 11. But most impressive, he knew just how much he needed to save to get it done. And we praised him for that. So in the same manner, we don't have to slander him, but
don't do this.
But it's not.
Yeah,
but let's at least bring to the attention that Kevin Durant miscalculated the same thing we praised him
for. Oh, no, don't do that.
Slick, let me tell you why I have to. Giannis played 50 minutes. KD played 53 minutes. What was the difference in the game, which you just brought up? KD was 0 for 6 in overtime, and Giannis made the pivotal bucket in overtime, which changed the trajectory of the game. The Milwaukee Bucks had not scored in 4 minutes. A minute, 12 seconds left, Giannis goes down, and he gets a bucket. In overtime, the only reason the Nets got a bucket was because of Bruce Brown. So I have to do it, because the difference in those 3 minutes was the difference in the game. You know Kevin Durant has full autonomy and authority to put himself in a game, and he has full autonomy and authority to take himself out of a game. I wouldn't have done it, Slick, if we didn't praise KD for it in game five. But because we praised KD for being able to calculate just how much energy he would need to get it done, we at least have to call to attention the fact that he miscalculated how much energy and he would need to get it done. I just got to at least call it to attention, to be fair.
Acho, I loved your first point. We always give the star too much credit and too much blame when things go either right or wrong. I agree with that 1,000%. And in all of the arguments that we have about LeBron or KD or Steph or any of that, that always ends up being a huge factor, is that we overemphasize that. But you are the same Acho who said, as this series unfolded, the Nets are playing with fire by playing KD many minutes, by playing James Harden so many minutes.
Correct.
They're going to pay a price for this at some point. And for you to suggest that KD should have anticipated that he was going to have to play five extra minutes of overtime in order to get this done and didn't account for that, and that was a mistake, I simply can't go that far to suggest he should have left something extra in the tank in case we go to an extra period.
Ooh.
He went all the way to the line and happened to have those size 18s not behind it, but on it in terms of getting it done. And you're going to look at that and say, you failed. You your toes are too long.
I just can't be that exacting. I didn't say that. First thing, let me clarify one. Maybe if KD was wearing the Giannis's, which are not as long as the toe. If KD was wearing the Giannis's, his foot wouldn't have been on the line. That's the first thing. The second thing, I'm not saying he failed, but Slick, if we are going to praise KD for properly calculating exactly how much he would need, then we also have to bring to the attention that he miscalculated. Sal, when you go to the club, I'm assuming, or at least when I go to a foreign country, I go with my credit card, I go with my debit card, but I also go with some cash. Because in the event I lose my credit card or get pickpocketed, lose my debit card, Slick, I'm preparing for something that may happen in the event.
Sure.
I'm not going to call Kevin Durant a failure. I preface by saying he's the greatest player on the planet. But the same thing we praise somebody for, we cannot turn a blind eye when they miscalculate. That's all I'm saying, Slick.
Oh, man. You couldn't have went to my elementary school, 54th Street Elementary School.
Well, I grew up in Dallas, first off.
Well, one, because you didn't qualify to go to my public school. Because in my public school, you understood what the report cards looked like.
What did they look like?
They were like this. One column, achievement. One column, effort. Took me a year or two to understand, why in the hell won't they just give me one grade? Why am I getting two grades in every class? And I started to realize, one of them is just to actually give the receipts of what my talent exemplified. Okay. So that's giving me what my effort is. And then achievement is like, oh, let's look at his talent, but let's also look at the circumstances. Were the tests harder in this situation? Was he fully prepared? So there were times where I would get an A and a B. And I was like, damn, what's that about? And that's what Kevin Durant just realized. That sometimes you could be in a situation where your performance, that's an A. That result, little less than desirable. Maybe a pass-fail situation. So, Acho, stop being so binary. His performance was A+. Unfortunately, the results didn't add up. But don't you put that on Kevin Durant, because he was the only reason they were in that position in the first place. Coming up, Ben Simmons had a playoff series to forget. I know you're mad at that. We'll tell you if the Sixers have a Simmons problem. That's next on Speak For You.
The Hawks closed out the Sixers in Game 7 last night to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. And a lot of eyes are on Ben Simmons. He only shot 33%.
Joe Harris.
And was held to only 5 points Sunday. Simmons also had a wide open dunk late in the fourth, down by two, but passed instead. Joel Embiid was asked about that play after the game. Y'all take a listen.
Doc, do you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
Yeah, David, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now. So I don't know the answer to that.
I'll be honest. I thought the turning point was, I don't know how to say it, but I thought the turning point was just, you know, we had an open shot and, you know, we made one free throw and we missed the other, and then they came down and scored.
You want to know who's not going to miss an open shot at his teammate? Joel Embiid. Slick Rick is back with us, but Sal, kick it off for us, big dog.
Yeah.
Do the Sixers have a Ben Simmons problem?
Absolutely. You just saw by those responses right there, they have a Ben Simmons problem. But more importantly, Ben Simmons has a Ben Simmons problem as well. Ben Simmons is this close to perfection in terms of what he was given as God-given talents and gifts and what he's worked on, which has been an enhancement on those gifts, no matter what you want to say about the guy. No one rolls out the bed, and just because they're tall and they can dribble, can still turn into Ben Simmons. You don't believe me? Go check out your local FedEx and UPS driver. Maybe they could have rolled out of bed and been that same thing. Doesn't happen that way. Let's talk about who Ben Simmons really is. He reminds me of me when I was at my peak powers. Why do I bring that up? Because you're so close to perfection. What's stopping you from closing the gap of being a 99 player? Because nobody out there is 100, even Kevin Durant. But why don't you close from where you are, Ben Simmons, to being a 99 rated player? I remember when I was rated 93, and I tried my damnedest to try to get to 99. But you know what? I fell short. That's the problem with Ben Simmons right now. We're not seeing him try his damnedest to be a 99-rated player. So, as Coach used to say, when people get rewarded in this world for not necessarily doing all they can, no need to whole-ass it when you can half-ass it and get what you want. And it looks like Ben Simmons in this situation is not fully, I want to see Acho's face right now, fully giving his all to be all he can be. So, until Ben Simmons finds himself in a place where he wants it as well as everyone sees it, then he can close that gap.
Yeah, the Philadelphia 76ers have a Ben Simmons problem, but they also have a lot of problems. Ben Simmons is just one of them. The idea that Ben Simmons alone is the reason that they are not advancing to a championship is flawed. They have the third most expensive roster in the entire league. And while Ben Simmons has demonstrated that for whatever reason, doesn't want to develop a free throw shooting form, doesn't want to develop a jump shot, is really a power forward masquerading in a point guard's position. Wow. But you've got Tobias Harris, who's supposed to be your go-to guy, only you can't go to him. A lot of this comes down to the fact that they've had four different GMs in the last 5 years. It is an oddly built team, and it's built for a fan base that, quite honestly, is delusional, thinking that the process has created a championship-caliber roster. Okay. So the expectations are through the roof. Philadelphia 76ers have some talent. Joel Embiid is a talent, without question. But as we've seen throughout not just these playoffs, but throughout the playoffs and the history of the NBA, it's how those pieces fit together that matters. And these pieces simply don't. Individually, they all look good. And you can say regular season, they were great. Regular season is different than the playoffs, completely different. And they've been exposed on that front. So Ben Simmons, yes, he is who he is. But he's not the only piece that is flawed about these Philadelphia 76ers.
Everybody is taking the last 24 hours to throw their shots at Ben Simmons. Well, I got the ball, and I want to make attention and shine a light and throw a shot, if we shall, at Doc Rivers. Because, yeah, the Sixers got a Ben Simmons problem, but they also got a Doc Rivers problem. And the issue with the Doc Rivers problem, it's the problem that nobody is seeing. Doc Rivers has an NBA record 9 career Game 7 losses. Doc Rivers has 29 losses in series clinching games, also an NBA record. Doc Rivers has blown an NBA record 11 playoff series when ahead in the series, like he was ahead against the Hawks 2-1. Doc Rivers allowed his team to blow an 18-point lead followed by a 26-point lead. That has never happened in NBA history, that you have lost consecutive games after holding a lead by 18 or more points. My coach used to always tell me, I am either coaching it or I am letting it happen. And at this point in time, Doc Rivers may be doing both. Keep in mind, Doc Rivers left the Boston Celtics because he did not want to be a part of a rebuild after he only won one NBA championship when starting his new modern era Big Three. Remember the Heat, their modern era Big Three, won 2 championships. The Warriors, their modern era Big Three, won 3 championships. But Doc Rivers, you were first to the table and you only won 1. The last thing I will say is this. Remember Doc Rivers, as we just talked about, he left the Celtics because he did not want to be a part of a rebuild. Over his 7-year stretch with the Clippers, The Celtics went to 3 conference finals. The Clippers went to no conference finals. Doc Rivers leaves the Clippers, and they have now appeared in their first conference finals. The Sixers may have a Ben Simmons problem. They also got a Doc Rivers problem. Coming up, the Clippers drop game 1 against the Suns Sunday. But we'll tell you if Paul George, PG-13, can carry the team without Kawhi. That's next. Speak for thyself.
And you know this, man.
My Clippers took a nail in game 1 of the Western Conference Finals Sunday to the Suns. Phoenix did not have Chris Paul, but Devin Booker led the way with a 40-point triple-double. Paul George had 34 points, but L.A. is still without Kawhi Leonard. Sancho, can Paul George carry my Clippers without Kawhi this series?
I don't see it, Sal. I see the Suns in 6, big dog. Unlike Suns in 4. Unlike that, dude. I got the Suns in 6. Are you seeing that?
Again.
Here's the issue. The issue is this. I don't think PG can outplay Book. And I think when it comes down to which superstar is going to be more of a superstar, I like Devin Booker in this one.
If anybody runs up on me saying Suns in 4, I know you want to fight. So, yeah, you're right. Even though it's going to be Clips in 6, that's how this is going to play out. We're missing Kawhi, which is worse than them missing Chris Paul. That's fine. We still feel like this is a level playing field, and we got him. Marcus Morris going to go 0 for 5 from 3 again, and we can win this game. That's it for us. Fox Bet Live is next.
Right.